following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
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 Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Oh, awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Hey, Steve.
Yo, yo.
How are you, man?
I'm doing great, dude. How are you?
Yeah. Back in the closet?
Yeah. Back in the closet, baby!
So normally when we're when you're in the closet and I'm in my master bedroom here, It means that we're not going to have a guest, but we do have a guest this week.
We
recorded it separately of this interaction that we're having now.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
We had a really fun day this week where we recorded four episodes in one day.
Oh man, it might be end up being five, but it was kind of cool because we just started driving around and
we took the podcast. We took the show on the road, as it were.
We did take the show on the road. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm excited for these podcasts for the listeners to hear these because they're really cool.
Yeah, and
because normally we do people in daytime,
right?
And this week we had the chance to interview somebody outside of daytime.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, so we are now part of Podcast One, which is an amazing podcast network with shows, all kinds of different shows. You know, you have your entertainment shows, your comedy shows. There's shows about every topic pretty much that you'd want, which is fantastic. And one of the other shows is a show called Zane's World, and a guy named Zane Lamprey, who's created these travel shows around his favorite thing, which is drinking.
And your favorite thing.
Well, but he's found a way to connect with people over shared experience and a love of culture. And anyway, so he's got this great show. Our Podcast One thought that we'd get along, and boy, did we.
And did we. You know, because you're always a little nervous, right? They're like, hey, maybe, you can talk to Zane. Zane can talk to you and, have a little synergy here at Podcast One. And we're like, okay, I'm not sure, but then I started listening to Zane and checking all his stuff out. And he's just, it didn't disappoint. He's a great
guy.
He's very funny. He's an entrepreneur. We all had a lot in common.
Yeah.
And, I think you guys will enjoy this.
And we're going to be on his podcast soon, too. So look out for Stephen Bradford on Zane's World.
Yeah.
And today.
And that was a different side of us because he was interviewing us.
I know.
Which is interesting.
It was so much fun. I felt less pressure to fill the gaps.
It was great. So less talking from Bradford, thank God.
Totally less talking from Bradford. So if you're totally burnt out on me, listen to us on Zane's World.
Totally.
Awesome. Well, this was fun. This was, even if you're not familiar with him, this is still really fun. We had a blast.
Yeah, we did.
Isn't that what it's about anyway? Having fun?
It is about having fun, brother.
All right. Enjoy, guys. Yo, Stevie. One of the benefits of being at Podcast One is
that. You call him Stevie?
Sometimes when I want to be endeared to him.
When you're sitting far enough where he can't punch you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, right. Okay. We get to make new friends, buddy. Yeah.
Right. But the new friends talk when we tell them to.
Yeah.
That's true.
Bad.
Yeah, kidding. And so since I can gauge that you're getting tired of me.
Yes.
This is nice to have a new friend.
It's really nice.
It's nice to meet new people, very funny people, people that have similar habits that at least one of us do.
I don't know who's the guest.
Who's this guy?
I'm excited.
So he's a comedian, TV host, professional drinker, which makes me so happy.
That's what makes you happy about this?
Oh my God. I can't even tell you how excited I am to meet someone that has similar values.
It's values.
The value that just introduce him, and then we can talk about Zane, please.
The host of Zane's World on Podcast One, our new home,
Zane's World.
Yeah. Yes.
Zane's World. So,
buddy.
Zane, it's great because Podcast One's like, okay, Zane's World, you're gonna have Zane on, and I'm like, okay, cool. So I started listening to Zane's podcast and doing some research, and I love the fact that obviously this guy drinks a lot for your sake.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have a lot to talk about.
Oh, my God.
But he's such an entrepreneur.
Yes.
So I know our brains think alike. Motivated. This guy has five. I thought I had a lot going on. This dude has triple of what I got going on.
You have Emmys. I got these Telly Awards that I purchased.
Yeah, dude, they look like they're.
They look amazing.
They do. What are they for? We're in Zane's office. And he's
Zane,
got,
yeah, you're in my house.
We are in Zane. It's an amazing house, by the way. Zane. It's amazing.
And there are these awards kind of taunting me because I've never won an award.
They're Telly Awards, and I'm not sure the process, but I don't think it's anything similar to an Emmy.
Yeah.
Considered, even if you weren't nominated for one, and someone just mentioned it in your presence, I think maybe it's more prestigious than winning one of those.
Yeah, well,
I don't know, the pose that they're striking,
it looks so.
Well, when you win it, you get to buy it.
Oh, there's the treat
there
right there.
That's true.
No, do you ever have to? You have to pay to get your Emmy engraved, though, don't you?
I don't know, dude.
No, you know what? You know
this
what
guy's
it is?
Asking me questions, ridiculous questions, all the freaking time.
I think I
your
think...
show is amazing, and what makes it even more amazing is that I'm on it.
And we're going to talk about Zane right now.
I know, okay,
and not enough. You.
Okay,
don't talk about Emmys. Talk about your tellies.
I don't have an Emmy to talk about.
Okay, so that means don't talk.
Okay.
Let's talk to Zane because we have this can't be like our normal 90-minute podcast of you talking for 87 and me talking
enough.
For 3. But Zane has a lot going on, and the thing that interests me is the comedy part.
Okay.
Okay, because Bradford and I, we are not comedians.
No.
But we go do a comedy show now on the road. We do a 90-minute show at clubs.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of amazing because we went from doing nothing, but now we're playing the improv. We're playing all these big clubs, which is fantastic. But I saw that you're funny because I listened to your podcast.
Thanks.
But did you ever do any type of stand-up or anything?
Let me ask you something, Bradford. Am I as funny as he is handsome?
We'll see by the end of this.
Okay,
we're working on it.
He did his research.
The evaluation will come out.
All you did was go drink about me.
Yeah, drink about you.
He read about
me. That's funny. I like that.
I'll tell you what this is. You struck a nerve here.
Yeah.
But not a bad nerve, just a nerve. Just a sensitive subject for me internally.
Mm.
Because
we go deep.
Yeah, you did right off the bat. Like, not even any foreplay or a shot. So
dude, I go so quick. There's no time.
you just tricked me. So I did my show Three Sheets, which was traveling around the world drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
I did it for 4 seasons. It was on. Started off on NHD, then they changed their name to Mojo.
Right.
Then they went off the air. Then it went to Fine Living Network. Then that went off the air, and it went to Travel Channel. Then they
and none of the none going off the air was never your fault, correct?
Well, no, because the network shut down, not
my
show.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I got a great phone call from the head of the network. He said, "I got good news and bad news. The good news is your show is rating so high on the network that more people know about your show than the actual network that it's on."
That's amazing.
The bad news is the network's going off the air. In 2 weeks, this was like December of, I don't know, 2009 or something, 2009. And so then I started doing, I reached out, well, actually, this is kind of cool. So I had a save, no one else was buying the show.
Yeah.
Like I was kind of, when I got that phone call, I was like, could be good because now I'm on a channel called Mojo, which most people haven't heard of. I know other networks have expressed interest in it. I can move to like a bigger network. This is going to work out amazing.
Sure.
So, but it wasn't happening. Like after like 2-3 weeks, and I'm like, what's going on? And so I just decided on my own to keep myself relevant. This is purely my decision that I was like, I decided to have a Save Three Sheets rally in LA
and
awesome. Then New York City.
What?
And so I had 600 people come out to the rally in Los Angeles.
Was it just? Did you just put a sign that said free booze,
free beer?
Well, it was a bar crawl.
Yeah.
So we started at in Century City at the Pink Taco, which is no longer there.
Good
right.
Start.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, and then we went to a bar in Beverly Hills and another one, and then came back. So we walked past like all the agencies and a lot of the production companies. We walked through the big building and like ICM's building or something like that in Century City.
Yeah,
And we just did this in just 600 people. It was like, it was crazy.
That's a great marketing idea.
It was amazing.
That's our next show, dude. We're doing a pub crawl in Long Island.
<It'd be>
amazing.
Jersey.
And so then we went to New York, and in New York, I couldn't even see the end of it. Like, it started up, by the end, there was 1,000 people. We assumed. We couldn't count.
Right.
It was, like, 2 blocks long.
Wow.
This mob. And I remember the cops finding out that it was me, and they came, like, they said, you need a
Permit? Or something?
Yeah, yeah, like, like a performance permit. And I go, yeah. look, here's the deal. My show went off the air. I told people I was going to some bars. They just
right.
showed up. And then they go, okay, we love the show. So that was it. Like, sometimes it, like, resonates. It hits like that. But so we went to this place. It was an Irish pub. And it was like a 3 or 4 story. And I remember I was at the top. And my buddy came in. He's like, hey, Mark Cuban's downstairs. He wants to buy 3 sheets. I'm like,
what?
Dude, he's not downstairs. I'll go downstairs just to show you that you're an idiot. Steve, you know Steve.
Yeah, your buddy Steve.
My buddy Steve, yeah. And so we go downstairs. And sure enough, it's Mark Cuban. He's like, hey, man, I want the show. I'm like, well, it's not really mine to sell, Mark. But I'll give you the phone number. Mark Cuban.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I mean, yeah, it was like, amazing. How did he end up in an Irish pub in New York? Was it just
he
like
was there?
Serendipitous?
Nope. He was part of the crawl. I found out he had been with us for like 2 bars. And we did, I think we did 4. And so I was like, this is amazing. So what they were doing was they were trying to sell 3 sheets along with 4 other shows on the network. So a lot of the other networks wanted 3 sheets, but they didn't want
the
others,
rest, right?
Including Mark. They said to Mark, "Yeah, you can buy all 5." And he goes, "I don't want all five." And
right.
so my contract expired that day. I called Mark because we stayed in touch.
Yeah,
as you would tend to do.
Not a bad guy to know, I guess, right? Yeah.
And I said, "Hey, he had the channel HDNet, and so
let's do
a domestic version of 3 sheets called Drinking Made Easy." I'll travel around. I'll do stand-up at night, and we'll shoot the show during the day. We'll promote it, all this kind of stuff. He goes, okay. And I was like, I guess I don't need to check with anyone else.
You called the shots.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
So the next call was from the guy who ran his network. He's like, I'm coming out tomorrow to meet with you. So we met with him, talked specifics. I mean, I said to Mark, he's like, how much you want? And I told him, and he goes, boom, that was it.
Boom.
He goes, done.
Yeah.
I go, should I ask for more? But,
yeah, right?
But then we went off. We did 24 episodes, and I did 87 live shows.
Ooh.
And it was, I know how hard you guys work doing your jobs. It was kind of like, I mean, I was burning the candle at both ends.
Dude. So when you do a live show for that kind of lifestyle drinking show, what does a live show look like for you?
So it was too much. It was
too much of everything.
I had 2 tour buses.
Okay.
My buddy and I, we counted the people that were on the tour buses. There was 17 of us.
Wow.
So on mine
between two.
Yeah, well, mine was me and my wife.
Right.
And the master bedroom in the back, which
right.
was great.
Yeah.
And then my buddy Steve.
And you had bunks,
and
right?
And they had bunks.
Yeah, yeah.
They had bunks.
Yeah.
But it was just Steve and another comedian, Mark Ryan. That was it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And actually, we didn't – I guess you could count the drivers, which makes it 19 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the show was a big projection screen with me giving like a funny history lesson on booze and funny, like just whatever. And then there were 2 songs at the end.
Did you sing them?
I sang them.
Oh, cool.
And then
you play guitar?
No, but I just held it.
Oh, cool.
Well, it was
just held it.
I was like, dude, I'm going on tour, and I had my guitar, and my buddy who helped, he wrote the music, I wrote the lyrics, and
oh,
like,
so these are original songs.
The original songs
about booze.
About booze.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
even better.
And then I was like, with my spare time, I'll learn how to play the guitar, and then the free time didn't present itself.
Yeah,
I couldn't even play a chord. It kind of just sat there. And then
it was cool.
And we had a bar set and all this stuff.
Man.
So at the and then we just kept acquiring because we were shooting the TV show.
Yeah.
And everyone wanted to give us cases of this and, you know, whatever. And so we ended up buying a trailer, like a 10-foot trailer. Just, so 2 buses and a trailer.
Just to carry the booze?
Just to carry the booze.
Man.
Wow.
Which is just how much money am I spending on this free booze?
When you're crossing state...
just in gas.
When you're crossing state lines with all that booze, is there some trouble there if you get pulled over?
I don't know.
Okay.
There might have been.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
But let's go back to your comedy.
Yeah. So the comedy was...
did you do stand-up comedy?
I did stand-up comedy for this. It was stand-up.
But you didn't do...
Didn't do stand-up
experience before.
My calling in life was to do stand-up.
Yeah, I think
And I moved out here... Thank you. And I moved out here to do that. But I started doing the hosting thing, yeah. and I was just like, I got to put my energy into one thing, and I just thought the hosting thing was a better place to put my energy.
Well, sure. If you got,
thinking back, I wish I did both.
Well, if you got a lead on the hosting thing, though, right now in the internet age, in all the reality stuff, hosting is not like a niche market. It's so prevalent. Like, and if you can make your stamp on
I mean,
it,
the hosting. To be honest with you, hosting's kind of gone. Like if you so like the days of having a host come in and host a show are pretty much dead. What they want now, you guys
just
know, you
people
guys,
that do it and host at the same time.
Yeah, well, they're like OcuSoaps, right? So yeah. so it's shows about people that are doing things anyway.
Right, all the HDTV
and
people.
Yeah, and it's like and I can go and pitch a show about anything, and then the you're pitching it, and they'll say. Okay, so what do you like? I pitch a show about animals. Like, oh, okay, are you a zoologist? Are you a doctor? No, I just love animals.
Yeah,
and whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
You can have a drinking show.
Oh boy,
there is hope. But let me go back for a second, Zane, because sometimes we'll get a little serious here. So I know.
Oh, come on, make me cry.
No, but I know you have a lot going on, and obviously you got a strike while the iron's hot. You have a clothing company, you have TV shows, you do all the stuff, but. You need to do the comedy, man. Mm. I think you really need to.
I think
you need to get up and just go do 5 minutes somewhere at Haha's open mic night on Thursday night and do it.
I know.
God, isn't he inspiring?
No,
he
it's
is.
True, but it's true because he obviously has a passion for it.
Yeah. By the way, I have it written. And so I'm planning on going.
Oh, you have your act already written.
I have our act written.
Yeah.
And I plan on this summer.
You should, man.
Going out and doing a tour.
You should,
of four sheets, but this time just stand up, no screen, no bar set, no song, just me. Because the thing is like I've learned this. So I had on my podcast a long time ago, Chris Titus.
Oh yeah,
of course.
And so he was telling the story about he started in stand up and he was doing bump jokes, you know, like this and this. You ever notice that this and whatever? Right. And he couldn't figure out why he just wasn't like elevating quickly enough. Then one day, I forget who it was that told him, and now he's the one telling me, it was like, be personal. Tell these personal experiences.
Yeah.
And just like, if you guys watch Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Have you seen it?
No.
See, it's worth watching.
It is. It's fantastic.
And so it's about a woman who just becomes a comedian. So Chris Titus was telling me the story about how the day that someone told him, just talk about yourself, like get some pain in there and get some angst and just like, and once he found that, that's where he just boomed because he started talking about stuff that he knew.
Right.
And then you started crafting that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, because otherwise it's just, I don't know. I feel like nowadays people want to see something that's authentic. They don't want to, if you can finally craft jokes, that's one thing. But like, if you're going to resonate, if you're going to really connect with people, they want an individual. They want something they've never seen before.
Besides the fact that doing what I've done over the last like 10 or 12 years, I have some pretty wild stories.
How much material?
It's endless.
Do you have?
You guys could name a country.
Well, that's
and I'll
what
tell
I was.
You the story.
That's what I was going to ask you because you traveled the world.
Yeah,
like you've traveled more places than I'll ever even think about going.
You guys I just showed you my sizzle reel for Four Sheets.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And which, by the way, if anyone goes to drinktv.com to sign up, it's like it's a new drinking network.
I'm in.
And it's like $2.99 a month, but I think it were $29 a year. But if you use the coupon code Zane, you get it for $19.99 for the whole year.
I'm in.
$19.99 for a year's worth of good programming.
Well, no, and there's all kinds of other shows on there, too.
Well, but I mean, if you really think about it, it's cheap for the type of content that you're getting.
Oh, my gosh.
Because we saw the sizzle, four sheets, and I'm like, dude, this is, I mean, you were, how many countries?
We did six episodes. And the network liked it so much that they picked up, before the show was even airing, they picked up another season.
That's amazing.
And they gave me a late night talk show, which I'm going to have you guys on because you guys are amazing.
Woo!
I hope you'll come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I
saw you get hit in the head with a bat.
That's
and you
about,
had
yeah.
a helmet on.
So
will we be able to drink on the late night show?
Yes.
Because I thought we'd be drinking on your podcast. I thought we'd be drinking on your podcast.
I know. I'm drinking vodka.
Yes.
Look at that.
Which is weird because I have a rum company, which is also weird.
Yeah.
So the what happened in Santorini, so that's Santorini, Greece. Mm, and people know that from literally like social media, like one angle. It's that Greek city
with the white and the blue.
An island. It's all white. With there's one blue dome that you know about. And the rest of everything is white. And there's a few little cities there. But so
should have done it on your. We did a quiz on your podcast. We should have done it about geography. Freak.
Are you guys? Are you good at geography?
Yeah, I'm pretty.
You
good.
You guys have to listen to Zane's World.
Yeah, Zane's World. Yeah, I had you guys on.
Yeah, yeah. He had us on, and we had a quiz. Everybody listening, and Bradford surprisingly lost.
Not only did he lose. Yeah. But he lost in just
glorious
just
fashion.
Glorious, explosive fashion. Yes. I mean, Steve just wiped the floor with
explosive.
Him.
Explosive. I love
you up at the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But back to four sheets.
Yeah, so Santorini happens to be, I get to choose where I want to go.
That's cool.
As long as I can justify that the episode will be good, and I need to do that for myself. Like
sure.
The most important thing, I'll get a budget for this show. I'll put my own money into it to make it as strong as it can be, because this is my calling card forever.
So do you look for like a signature drink tied to a location?
I look for an amazing location that I want to go to, and then I try to backwards justify the drinking there.
Right.
So
there
for example, I'm like, we're going to Machu Picchu. I know that the gateway to Machu Picchu is Cusco. I don't even know if they drink there. I don't know, but we're going to find out. And so my wife is one of the producers, and Josh
is
another producer.
Mel, your wife?
Mel, exactly.
Mel's your wife, yeah.
And so he...
And you met her on a show.
I met... Yeah, she started producing Drinking Made Easy.
Got it.
And then
Chuck... She goes, I love this drunk.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about him. That's Seamus.
We have a cat on my lap.
Yeah, we have a lot of cats here.
It's great.
And so in Santorini, it happens to be the world's first winery.
What? Oh,
wow. So I was like, okay. But I was going to go there anyway.
That's amazing.
I don't know if I have to drink like ouzo and beer, but like I'm going to go there anyway. So we went there. The wine growing is amazing because they don't have wineries where the vines grow up because it's so windy and hot. They coil them on the ground.
Wow.
And so there'll be like 80 feet of coil and the grapes grow inside protected by the grapes. It's pretty amazing.
Dude.
Wow.
And then so they're pitching me locations, my wife and Josh. And they're like, there's one place. And they go, we know you're going to want to go there. It's called Two Brothers. I'm like, okay. They show me it. They're like, you know, it's kind of a shots place. And then it turns into a club at the end. I'm like, okay. It doesn't sound like something we'd go to because it really needs something that's visual.
Sounds
whatever.
Like the 90s for me.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. 80s through. Yeah. And so they have a shot called the Headshot. Where you do a shot of like ouzo, which is a Greek spirit,
yeah.
And then you put on the helmet before you do the shot. You do the shot.
No,
and
that's
then you get
what it was.
Hit over the head with a bat.
Oh gosh!
And so what happened was,
look at Bradford's face.
I don't think this is
mortified.
Think this is in the episode. I think this is in the behind the scenes episode that we also have hosted by my buddy Steve. Does a round table behind the scenes that we drink at and make his life hell.
Sweet,
which is what he's done to me for the last 25 years. But the owner did it. And he goes, doink. And like, I put the helmet on. I did the shot and doink. I'm like, no, come on, man. I know you're being respectful because I'm older than you. But like, come on, man. Give it to me. So then the bartender's like, I'll do it. By the way, that was a Greek accent.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You should hear him do accents.
You're about as good as I am with accents.
That was my European accent.
Yeah.
And so I turn around, my back to the bar, facing the camera.
Oh, gosh.
I do the shot. Yeah. Expect it to be... You know, just like,
yeah, just
whatever. The guy hit me so hard. He was stood on the bar.
Dude.
It was almost the width of the handle of a baseball bat.
Yeah. Is it solid wood, though?
Solid wood.
Yeah, it looked
solid
like
wood.
Three broomsticks.
It's not a Whipple bat.
Yeah, it was thick.
It was thick.
Yeah, it was thick.
That was Happy Gilmore,
he
dude.
He hit me, and I was not performing. I had no idea what's going to happen. I thought it was going to be a lot lighter. He hit me over the head. I fell on the ground. That wasn't like me.
Did you
trying
black
to
out?
Be...
Do you have a concussion?
No, I don't
Maybe.
Know. Maybe
he might have.
I didn't black out, but I definitely lost my footing for a second.
Dude,
And then they wanted to do it again.
Just
angle.
Yeah, get coverage on it.
Same thing happened. Oh no, you know what it was? I said.
Isn't that amazing?
I go. You're watching. You're watching Four Sheets on Drink TV.
Whack.
And I was going to go drink it and go cheers to that. Oh, I know what it is. I said, I don't want to hit it over the head.
Oh, sure.
And then I did the shot, but you're watching Four Sheets on Drink TV. Well, I explained this to the guy who speaks Greek.
Right.
And so what I did was, I don't mean to hit this over the head, did the shot, and I was about to start saying another word, and bam! Holy cow.
Dude.
I mean, but I knew, because they know, like, yeah. You need that water cooler moment in every episode. And these episodes maybe have one or two. but like, or three or four, but like, you just need something. You need to be remarkable. You need to have something that's like, that was amazing. I need to go there. Can you believe he did that? Sure. And so when I saw that they did this stupid thing, I said, I need to do this.
Or you send your friend.
Or you send your friend. Now, so it's funny you brought that up. In Drinking Made Easy, we were doing so many episodes that I knew I needed a little bit of help. And so I brought my buddy Steve. What happened organically, so in Three Sheets, all the weird, crazy stuff I did, it happened to me. I did all these, I did a like a bungee jump and all that kind of crazy stuff.
All while drinking?
All various parts of drinking. Yeah, exactly. And then when we did the three seasons of Drinking Made Easy for Mark Cuban, we ended up doing, I think, 60 or 70 something. I don't know, 60 or 70 episodes. And I knew I needed somebody to like lean on.
Help you.
But the problem was, what happened was, I became the straight guy, you know, whatever. And Steve became the buffoon.
Yeah.
Which just meant
we're familiar with that relationship. Okay,
which just meant that I didn't have, we talked about authenticity a while before. I didn't get to have those authentic experiences. So now with Four Sheets, I'm the one. Yeah. Everything's happening to me. And I don't have to be silly about it or whatever. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
But I get to be the one having that experience. And it just makes it just, I think, a better experience for the viewer.
Right.
Because I need to do it. When I was in Cusco, first episode, so the gateway to Machu Picchu. And so the hangover cure there was something called Kombo, K-O-M-B-O. Okay. It's this frog poison. Okay, and what they do is they take basically the stick, they burn the end of a stick, like a cigarette.
Yeah.
And they burn these three dots. No, I mean, for me, it was six dots on your arm.
You were that hungover?
You're very drunk.
Yeah. And so, you know, the next day, they warned me about it. So because of that, we shot a bunch of B-roll the day before.
Okay.
I think we went to Machu Picchu. And then I came back because they're like, you can't have any alcohol in your system. I'm like, okay, I was a little scared. So I came into it sober, first thing in the morning. And then they burn these dots, and then they scrape this frog poison off this thing. They've gotten it from the frog, which comes from the Amazon. They put it on a stick, and it dries. Then they sort of reconstitute it with water, and they make these little balls. And then they put it on these wounds in your arm,
what
these burn
the
marks.
Hell?
And what happens is your body thinks that you've ingested it. Like, that's the signal going to your brain.
Sure.
And so because it's on your arm, your blood system, you start throwing up.
No way.
And crapping and peeing, like everything, to basically your body says, I got to get this poison out of my body.
Reject it, yeah.
And so it's supposed to be like this big purge and like, and it's, there's no, it's not like.
So this is a hangover remedy? Or
it's not really. We put it as our hangover segment of the show.
Got it. But, so this is just a cleansing thing.
It's just
that
a
they
cleansing.
Do.
Yeah. I like to start the show with something crazy and end it with like, sort of a coming to Jesus sort of thing, you know,
something to
sort of like, you know, end the show. And like when we were in Grand Cayman, it was like, it was a Stingray City. I don't know if you guys have been to Stingray City. You get to, it's like 3 miles out and there's a sandbar where the fishing vessels used to come through when they're cleaning their catch, and they would dump it all there. And so the stingrays knew that and they would come out. And now they don't do that anymore. But now the tourists go on these boats, and you get out, and it's like 3 feet deep, and these giant stingrays, like the ones that killed Steve Irwin, are like swimming around. But they've just, no one's died, no one's got injured
yet.
Because, I'm not getting off the boat,
because the stingrays know what they're in for.
Sure,
wow.
So anyway, I mean, those are all just like little snippets.
That's
of
a
the
cool.
Show.
That's a cool cleanse. What Bradford does, he goes to Chipotle.
I mean, that works too.
Do the carnitas? It's amazing. So okay, now that we know that. You do that. Like, okay, so I know you went to theater school, right?
Yeah.
So how did you get from theater school to, like, professional drinker? Like, how does that transition go?
I did pretty crappy in high school because I just wasn't focused. I was the funny guy and just whatever. Yeah. And so I got into college based on my artistic abilities. So I was a drawer and a painter. And so they let me in what they call special circumstances. You know, it's a scholarship with no money. It's like,
sure,
all right, let him in. He'll do good for the, you know, whatever.
Today's episode is brought to you by EveryPlate. EveryPlate dinners are the cheaper, healthier alternative to takeout or delivery. So if you've ever thought about a meal delivery service but thought they were out of reach for you, then EveryPlate is the one for you.
Why is that?
Why is that, Steve? Well, because when other dinner options cost around $10 per serving, Every Plate is offering 5 chef-designed recipes each week from only $4.99 per serving.
Yeah, that sounds affordable. Okay, uh-huh. I know you like the price point, so
ooh,
let's just
do
get
I like
that
a
out
good
of the
price
way.
Point.
For me, the recipes come together in about 30 minutes because, you know, I don't do a lot of cooking.
Right.
So I need some help. And it's definitely faster than a big trip to the grocery store because when I go to Whole Foods, mm-hmm. it's like an hour and a half.
Right.
By the time I'm done. You know, it's just less time for me deciding what to cook and more time spent eating the food and hanging with the family.
That's right. And Every Plate does the meal planning, the shopping, the prepping for you, and it takes that time-consuming guesswork out of cooking. And you never buy more ingredients than you need because Every Plate's recipes come with everything already pre-measured. So our deal for you, as a listener to That's Awesome, you get 6 free meals across your first 3 weeks and free shipping on your first delivery.
Nice.
With code THAT'SAWESOME6.
Oh, patient 6 in the house.
That's how you remember it. That's awesome 6 at everyplate.com. So we had a couple recipes that we tried this week. Steve, what was your favorite?
Oh, my goodness. Dude, a spicy honey butter chicken with roasted zucchini and sweet potatoes.
Oh,
get out of here.
Dude, I know you love a little kick. You love that little
kick.
Come on. I really enjoy.
What you have?
I really enjoyed the sausage and pepper orzotto with the cheesy panko crust. It was like a little. It was like comfort food with a little kick in the pants.
Yeah, I like some breaded panko,
right?
For
and
sure.
Then the other one that I loved with this was the Southwestern beef bowl with chipotle crema.
Uh oh, chipotle
pico de gallo. And love lime
it.
Rice. I tell you, these these recipes were. I was blown away. We've tried a bunch of. We've tried some of these, and I was blown away for the price point. How great this is! Again, the deal for our listeners: 6 free meals across your first 3 weeks, and free shipping on your first delivery at everyplate.com, and use code THAT'SAWESOME6. That's awesome. 6.
Hey guys, we got something new. Well, it's kind of new because we did some really cool holiday greetings in front of a really bad set. But so we've been approached a lot the last couple of years about doing these personalized greetings. And you might have seen them. Influencers are doing them. Celebrities, quote unquote, are doing them. And I told Bradford, I said, hey, Brad, since we did the holiday ones, why don't we just open it up to kind of any kind of greeting?
Yes.
Or maybe surprising a friend or a fan. So what are we going
to
do?
Basically, just go to our website into the merchandise section and you'll see it. We're going to take videos on our cell phone cameras when we're together. If we're not together, we'll make a nice little side-by-side Skype video for anything you want. If you're a big GH fan or you know someone that is, great little tidbit for them. Birthdays, anniversaries, St. Patrick's Day.
You ran out of holidays. So whatever it is, just check out the personal greetings. They're cool.
So I was an art major for a while, and then I was like, you know, I'm gonna be done with college, and I don't necessarily want to be like I grew up in Syracuse in New
yeah.
York, and so I didn't want to like be
Carousel Center, baby.
Yeah,
that's right.
How do you know Carousel?
Dude, we've done so many appearances up there.
You know those glass elevators?
Oh, yeah, dude.
So my dad put those in.
Oh wow!
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was there when it was like
didn't they recently close it or something like or
the elevators or the mall?
The mall.
No.
Okay.
No, they made it bigger.
My junior summer before college, I did their pre-college program. Lived at Booth Hall up on the hill.
Oh, at Syracuse.
Syracuse.
Okay.
Yeah. So
like New Hall or no? No, as far as the program, not communications. But
no, drama school.
Yeah, drama.
Yeah, yeah.
At Syracuse.
At Syracuse.
Got
yeah.
Okay.
So I spent a summer there when I was 17. And
yeah.
It was a great summer.
Where was the city we stayed in the night?
Utica.
Utica.
Wow.
Yeah.
Utica.
Have you been there?
We got
I know
you've
been
yeah.
there.
I've driven through.
Yeah. We were trying to. We had a show in Boston. We had a show in Boston Friday night, and then we had a show the next night in Syracuse. And we thought we were just going to drive as far as we could
yeah.
and then figured we'd stay somewhere. For whatever reason,
oh my gosh.
There were no hotels in Boston, Worcester,
nothing on the way.
Nothing. Like,
in getting on the thruway, the
Springfield,
New York State thruway.
Albany.
Like,
yeah.
No hotel rooms anywhere.
It was like the height of...
Like nothing available?
Nothing
right,
available.
You guys are on,
everything
like,
was
app
sold out.
Or whatever?
Yeah,
I called 50 hotels on the way up.
We were booking them. As we were trying to book them, it would automatically become unavailable. It was like the height of the fall leaves.
Yeah.
And,
was that this year?
Yeah, it was this past fall.
You know where I was that day? I was in New Hampshire.
No kidding.
Yeah,
that's
I was
I'm
doing
from.
Like bottle. I know I was doing bottle signing for Monkey Rum for my rum company.
Oh man, so, I gotta, so where is that available by the way? Because I got to try some of that.
I'm gonna send you. It's in my garage. I'm
yeah.
Gonna
so
guys
so so when
go to monkeyrum.com where you can find out. What's
I know
available.
We were talking about your personal life, but where's how'd you start Monkey Rum?
So you know I was doing like Drinking Made Easy, and I'd done the tour, the stand up.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if we finished that story. To put a cap in that, we were doing. I did like House of Blues, almost every House of Blues.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
That's
they were
awesome.
Big, great, big venues, yeah. And man, yeah. I sold out some of those, and I just
awesome,
got a taste
man.
For it. And it was
yeah.
just, it was amazing.
Isn't it amazing it being up in front of the live audience
it's
like that?
It's electric.
There's
it's,
nothing better.
It is literally electricity.
Yeah.
There has to be something to it to, you know, several hundred to 1,000 eyes
amazing.
Focused on you. And you making them laugh, making them happy. It's just like, there's something to it.
Yeah,
something
yeah,
to
it.
For sure.
So when I was doing Drinking Made Easy, I got approached by a tequila company. And I won't say who it was, Cuervo. And they basically wanted to pay me to travel, to like be their, like a traveling spokesperson, to go to
yeah.
different
like
events.
Captain, like you'd be Captain Morgan.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, I don't know if I'd be in this suit.
No, kidding.
But and I was like, well, wait a second. If I'm getting this offer, like maybe I should just go and do this myself.
I like
which
it.
Is like, you know,
so much more work.
So much more work. I cannot yeah. even begin to tell you. But my thought was, well, what if the, you know, if Cuervo likes me for 2 years and then doesn't,
you
and I've aligned myself with Cuervo,
right?
And now I have to go and do something else, and maybe the other companies won't want me because I aligned myself with Cuervo, and it's just like ah. So then I just started my own rum company.
Yeah,
and. Man, that is a lot. I mean, the work and launching a spirits brand.
Oh god,
the amount of money and time and everything. It's just it's mind blowing.
It's brutal.
Yeah. So at one point I ended up
talk to George Clooney. He did pretty good, I think.
Yeah, he was also George Clooney.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
And so when I started, I was sort of talking about it on my social media, and BevMo reached out to me. BevMo is a
yeah,
big
yeah.
Out here.
Is it California? Is it California,
California
only?
California, I think maybe Arizona and Nevada
yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah
there's a,
it's a beverage
big,
beverages,
warehouse.
Beverages exactly. and more.
Exactly.
It's Costco for beverages.
Exactly.
Yeah. Except not as cheap.
and so they said, hey, we want to launch this with you. Like the guy over there.
Wow.
He was that's, a fan of the show. And he's like, yeah. we'd like to launch it. I'm like, great. He's like, let's do it in a secondary market. Not in LA. Let's do it in San Diego. Great. So they ordered 120 bottles.
Yeah.
And I said, I think you're going to need more. Like, I don't know, but I have an idea. So he said,
right.
order double that, get 240, whatever you have left over, I'll buy it back. I wasn't going to buy it back. I didn't know how that was going to work.
Sure.
So we get down there and there's a line around the block.
Wow.
And we sold out. We didn't even have enough to fulfill it. And they said, all right, so here's the plan. We'll do this. I'm like, whoa, I don't know this industry. Like, I can't, I'm producing TV shows. I got my merchandise
yeah.
line
yeah.
and my apparel. I'm like, I don't know. And so I then teamed up with this guy, Ian Crystal, who was the global marketing director for, I think that title is correct, for Absolute.
Wow.
And so now he's running the company. Like,
beautiful.
You
pick the smartest people. Like,
exactly.
You got this girl running your apparel.
Most experience. Yeah, Erica from Lululemon's yeah. running my apparel company. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
You got to like, delegate.
They'll delegate to me. I'm getting people that are smarter and more experienced than I am.
Sure.
You tell me what to do.
Well, yeah.
I've already pushed it as far as I can.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So then we turned, it was a spice rum and a coconut rum, and then we launched it. We shut the whole thing down. We didn't shut it down. We just put pause on everything for like, almost a year.
Really?
Redevelop the rum. So now it's barrel aged with natural spices, and then barrel aged with coconut, and like just it's in a bottle the shape of a barrel.
Sweet.
And what we do is when people, I don't think I have one. Oh yeah. Oh shit, right here. So this is the bottle. And so this is working out really well for people at home who can't see it, but it's shaped like a barrel. But
we'll take
we
a picture for you.
People go drink it, then they bring it back to the liquor store, and they get a rocks glass. So we cut it here and make a rock glass?
Oh.
And then we cut it here and make a pint glass, or cut it here and make it into a goblet.
Wow.
So
Radford just died and went straight to heaven.
We call it upcycling,
yeah.
where you basically – people don't realize this, but like – 4 out of 5 bottles that you recycle
don't make it.
Go to the dump.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they don't get recycled. So I wanted to do something that would just keep green.
Good for you.
You know, we're going to hell in a handbasket with our planet and a biscuit
with a biscuit
and
especially
a,
if you're in Nashville.
Cheese. Yeah.
But that's cool, man. That's,
thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but I'm actually very curious.
I know he is here.
I want to know how you got, like, because you have monetized drinking, and that is like a dream come true.
Listen, I will tell you, I don't necessarily share this information, but I mean it's not a secret, but I don't broadcast it.
Sure,
the journey has been very, very difficult.
I can imagine.
So remember, so I'm on a network that gets shut down, that goes that keeps getting shut down, keeps going shut down, and then at the end it goes on Spike. And then it didn't work out for them, so they shut it down. I called them Mark Cuban. I mean, there was a lull right there of about a year. I mean, I was under contract. So now I'm like, my episodes are airing in different places. It goes to a new network. They want me to do promos, but I'm not getting paid anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I had to, out of like necessity, because I also wanted to do it, but I started my apparel company.
Yeah.
Then I launched, then we got Drinking Made Easy going. Then I started The Rum.
Yeah.
And then HDNet goes from being a guy's channel, turns it into AXS, a live music channel overnight.
Yep.
And Mark's like, I don't know if you can turn your show into a live music show, then we can keep it going. I'm like, have you seen my show? Like, that's not what it were. And so like that didn't work out. And so I couldn't sell that around town for about a year or two. And so then I kickstarted.
Yeah, I saw that online. Oh, wow. You kickstarted. What'd you kickstart?
I kickstarted.
You raised like a $500,000 bucks or 600 grand or something.
Yeah, about 590.
Yeah.
And so I created a show called Chug, traveling around the world and drinking, traveling by train, calling it Chug.
Chug.
Great.
And
love
so
it.
And so that we kickstarted that. That went great.
Yeah.
We made the show.
Where'd that air? On YouTube or?
Well, it went to the backers,
right?
The Kickstarter backers,
right?
And then on my rum bottle, there's a little, see the train here, right there, and then there's the license number is 8177. That's the number of backers that back Chug.
Oh, cool,
man.
And so then it was like, okay, now what are we gonna do with it? So I was on a show for Nat Geo, like a sort of a Mythbusters show, which lasted a year, but they liked me. And so they bought it and aired it on Nat Geo.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And
man.
Then decided it wasn't for them. They didn't want to be in the food and drink space. They thought they were going to go into it and they didn't. And so then it went to Netflix. But these are all acquisitions.
Sure.
So the money is not what people would expect.
Yeah, sure.
And so, a lot of work. A
lot of work. And then it was like, okay, now what?
Yeah.
And you saw, Steve, you saw my YouTube channel, Zane's World, which I had a lot of fun doing that. I did that with another production company. I paid for all the travel, all the production, all that kind of stuff. They did the post-production.
Sure.
Because they were sure they were going to bring in all these advertiser dollars.
Sure.
Come to find out they didn't have the connections they thought. So and then along comes Drink TV, but there's a lull right there of about 3 years, which is great that I have my apparel company,
right,
which I could get more serious with. But it's a roller coaster. I don't mean to be like a downer because I'm having a good time. Like, I surround myself with amazing people.
We prefer awesome people.
Awesome people.
But it just shows you, man. It's like the perseverance that it takes just to have any kind of success.
I can't imagine being married to me. Because you know it's one of those things where it's just like, hey, you've had your show canceled four different shows canceled.
Yeah, we're going to do this one though now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe we can move to Boulder now? No. One more.
Right.
And then it's like, maybe I'll move to Boulder and I'll just keep coming back and doing this. But it's funny. That's literally the plan.
Yeah.
I would love.
Oh, that's the plan.
That's the plan. I would love.
That's the goal.
Well, but the thing is, you can do your podcast from anywhere. You can
exactly.
do your
How
show.
How long have you been doing your podcast, by the way?
I've been doing this one for maybe 6 months.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, but I was doing one before.
Yeah.
It just,
Podcast One?
Nope. Just on my own, but it wasn't paying for itself.
Right.
And so I was like, I got to stop. Then it's like, oh, man, if I would have kept going, maybe I'd be in a different spot. But like, you know, it's the journey. But I mean, that's the thing about being married to me. It's like there's always just something cooking.
I know my wife's
and
the same way.
And prospecting and whatever.
I know. I'm trying to pull the reins back.
Yeah.
Because I am that way. If I have 2 weeks off, I'm starting a new business.
Yeah.
And it's just,
we were talking about that before. Like, I'm not good at vacationing. I can take a break for a few days, and then my mind just starts working. I can't shut it down. I'll be going on a hike, and I'll be planning something in my head.
I know. I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I cannot take more than 4 or 5 days off.
Yeah, but I can't. It's just. But thank God that there's people like Bradford in the world.
I was gonna say I'm so good at that.
He's he makes up so good at that.
Maybe I see. I drink a lot of wine. Maybe
well, because here's the thing.
The
thing is, he's a wine connoisseur.
Okay,
loves wine.
Connoisseur is a stretch.
Well, no,
enthusiast.
It's not.
In the room you are.
No,
enthusiast.
Comparatively to the average person, this guy knows a lot about wine. Knows about deals. What kind of wine? What kind of taste? Whatever. He always knows. And I think there's value there.
I find that the more you know about wine, the more expensive the wine becomes.
Well, that's the thing.
I'd rather be stupid and drink the cheap stuff and not know better.
Well, but here's the thing. The great thing about knowing what you like is then you can find what you like at the price point that you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I, you know, one of the things
What's the one that gets you drunk? I like that.
All
I
of
like
them.
That one.
Strawberry Hill.
Boone's
Farm.
Do you not
Boone's
drink?
Farm. Yes, I do drink. Okay. Yeah. Not often. I mean, I used to a lot, but I just don't so much now for my health.
It gets to a point where you need to like, you know, you can't do it every day.
Going on the road with this guy, I need a new liver by the time I get home.
Going on the road with this guy. It's funny.
That's true.
It's funny. Sometimes we can be...
By the way, that's how well you guys know each other.
Yeah.
You said this guy, and he's like, oh, I know what you mean. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Yeah. Neither does anybody else.
So, I think you could tell when we did our quiz, Steve's a little competitive. He likes to be competitive in all arenas.
Okay.
And he's also an inspiring fellow when he wants you to do something.
Okay.
Some might call it peer pressure.
He told me to stand up. I'm going to go out tonight and do it. I'm afraid. I'm afraid what might happen if I don't.
I think you should.
I'm going to do it.
I think so.
You'll be there.
I actually called a friend of mine, Sean Kerrigan, who's a stand-up comedian and an actor. And I'm like, hey, man, where's the best open mic night? You know, because our show, it's in a comedy venue.
Yeah.
It's not all about, it's a lot of it's about General Hospital, but it's turned into this little bit of like, he'll do 5 minutes of stand up and then I'll do like 15 of stories.
I sing a couple songs.
You know?
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great singer. So, but it's like, man, I want to do it in front of, we have a great audience. Like when you were doing your shows, you had people there who wanted to see you and wanted Zane, right?
Right.
And they want to have fun and they're going to be accommodating to you. And as our fans are, they laugh, they have fun. It's an amazing time being on stage.
But by the way, it's a safe venue.
Absolutely. That's why I called my friend.
I go, man, I think I got 5 minutes I could do.
Shut up. Did you do it?
No,
are
not
you going
yet.
To?
I'm going to do it because you pay $5.
Oh my God.
For 5 minutes.
You buy a buck a minute?
Yeah, $5.
I can
you want
swing
$5?
That.
He goes, come on now. Because he goes like 3 nights a week, right? This is what he does. So he's like, just come on in. I'll get you in the good spot. You don't have to wait till the end. Just pay your $5. Get up and do it. And I told Bradford the other day, I said,
when are you going to do it?
You don't want to broadcast it, I don't think.
Wait, okay.
No, I don't know when, but I'll do it.
But listen, you let me know.
We'll go.
And I'll go with you.
I promise
I'll do it.
Yeah. I'll do it,
dude. Look at this.
I want to do it.
Look at this.
Because I have nothing to lose.
I have some new material. I'm excited.
You're funny. They're going to be like, tomatoes are going to come out. Like, where'd that guy get that tomato? I got it in the head, man. This is freaking bold.
And it's me throwing tomatoes at him.
And it's Zay, can you go in the front of the house, please?
But I got all these extra tomatoes.
So. I'll be drinking in the audience.
Will you be?
It'll be great.
I know.
No, honestly,
for real, dude,
we'll do it. And you know, maybe I'll shoot like a video of it. I'll put it on my Zane's World. I don't know, something.
Yeah.
Or we'll just
don't do that. Because no one will ever come see me anywhere ever again.
If it's not good, we'll throw it away.
Yeah.
Or we can just do it for ourselves.
Yeah, we should, man. It'd be a lot of fun.
Two youngsters.
Making
Bradford, you coming or not?
Making dreams come true.
Unless we're going to the Sacramento. The Sacramento. Peach Pitter. I don't know what it's called up there.
The Sacramento
Onion
Bar. Did you just do a 90210
yes,
reference?
I did.
Oh, my God.
The last guy in my show was Ian Ziering.
It was?
Yeah.
Sharknado 7?
You have to have crossed paths with him over the
years. Of course, yes.
He's awesome. And he was talking about how they're talking about bringing 90210 back.
They are talking about a reboot right now, yes.
But it's a reboot that's about the actors. So they're playing themselves?
Interesting.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. So
is that a reboot then?
So Ian's playing Ian.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's a character of him or something. I don't know. That's what he said. He said it on my show.
We had an amazing experience at, you know how everyone's trying to do conventions these days?
Yeah.
There was a...
What do you mean by that?
Like people are like, oh,
like attending one or creating one?
No, creating one.
Okay, yeah. You know, cons that are going on right now.
This woman with very good intentions tried to do, what was it called? RetroCon? No.
RewindCon.
RewindCon.
Okay.
And
great idea.
Okay.
Great
idea. So, but she made it super broad. So we're going to have.
If you get invited, you know that you are
past your prime.
You're a has been.
Yeah. Exactly. So, oh, damn, what happened?
How much? I'll be there.
I got invited to RewindCon.
Yeah. But so the headliners were the Melrose Place people and the 90210 people.
Okay.
But then they also had. Like some guys from NSYNC were there. Some guys from like other boy bands were there, and then they had a whole daytime category too.
Yeah,
and so it was a little too broad. And so
where was this?
Chicago. Just outside of Chicago.
And it happened. What year was this?
It happened
two years ago.
3 years ago.
Were you there?
We had a band.
How can you do RewindCon if you guys are
well because they did daytime?
Because daytime had its like glory days in the 80s. Okay. So that was kind of the idea, I think. Right. But they guaranteed people a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like to get people to come.
Like Luke Perry and Jason Priestley, who I've known for a long time.
Yeah, right.
But they were probably the only two
that drew.
But they got guaranteed money.
Right.
Oh, everyone else got a cut of the door or something?
No, they just were going to get paid when they showed up.
Oh, yeah.
Except
for me.
Yeah, you.
This turned into like a fire festival thing?
Oh, dude, it was bad. Oh, yeah.
It was bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude. They were there. I mean, they showed up. They got their money up front, and they did it. And there weren't a lot of people there, and whatever.
But you know, without calling certain people out at Sunday afternoon, when things were going down, and everyone realized, oh, there's no money, because you know there's maybe 300 people that came through the whole weekend, and there's maybe 50 people that had been guaranteed a ton.
Half
of money.
Of them are celebrities.
Correct.
Wow.
You know, Keith Coogan from Adventures in Babysitting had his own booth in like. Like the girl, the tomboy from A League of Their Own was there. Like just people, random people that were all part of this.
It was cool for us.
It was cool. We got to like.
You got to meet every single person.
Yeah, I get to see people I haven't seen for years. It was nostalgia, man. It was awesome.
Doug Savant from Melrose Place. And like, I mean, it was.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Wasn't Alan
and Godzilla.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it was so, there were all these cool people there. So looking around the convention hall and all these like celebrities that are just sitting there by themselves waiting for people to come.
For real. Like 300 people went in the door.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Over the course of the weekend.
Why? Yeah. They didn't promote it?
I don't know. She didn't know what she was doing. And so, but by the end of the weekend, the people that were really serious, like I don't leave town unless I get paid this amount.
Yeah.
Were fighting over bills. Like there was a little bit of cash and people were like crawling over each other to get this money.
Amazing.
So you're seeing celebrities like, it was nuts.
Not to name names, but Bob Saget.
Right. He was the worst. Yeah. But anyway, so.
Bob kicked everyone's ass.
Yeah. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Sticks with helmets.
I did a.
That was the 90210 reboot story?
Yeah.
That's good. That's where it came from. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I did a.
So they're going to do better now.
Yeah.
When
I was doing the Drinking Made Easy tour. So during I was doing the show during the day and the stand up at night.
Oh, gosh.
And so they had me do like a few signings, and usually they were fine, but sometimes they competed, right? Like if you wanted to meet me, why wouldn't you just go to a signing instead of going to the show? And so whatever, but anyway, they did one, but they didn't promote it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was supposed to, whatever. So I was at a Best Buy.
Yes.
And
yes.
I forget what I was signing.
What department?
Upstairs. it was multi-level.
The Best Buy lounge.
And let me tell you something. Zero people came.
Oh,
they didn't tell anybody.
Man.
I'm sitting there. I'm like, and I'm not even sitting behind the table because that would be like very pathetic.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting on it, walking around it.
It's,
and then after an hour, I'm like, you.
It's happened to the best of us,
yeah,
buddy.
So amazing.
It's
so amazing. That lets you know where you fit.
Well, anyone that's in any sort of entertainment industry has been humbled at a certain point.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to have that experience, which just brings you down even further, right?
Such a good one.
Yeah,
such a good one, because I was starting to feel good about myself.
Yeah. Here you go.
We don't have enough time to talk to you.
Yeah.
Because you have so much.
What else is there?
Well, because he likes to. He likes to get behind the curtain of like,
really
how
want,
did you
like,
become you?
Yeah, me too, by the way.
I really want.
I feel like. It was my intention to get there and on my interview of you guys on my podcast, Zane's World, available on Podcast One. But I don't know that I did, but I feel like I got to know you guys really well.
Yeah, because I I lived in New York for a long time.
Okay.
I went to NYU, did theater school, yeah. and then, of course, I worked in restaurants.
Okay.
And so during that time, I cultivated a real just appreciation for good wine, good liquor, mm-hmm. good beer, and good food, and I just love it. And if I had to do a second career, which I may have to at some point soon, then it's either going to be hospitality or like being in
Drink TV launched, so maybe right. there's something there for you.
Sure. Yeah. But so like
But you got to get your energy up.
Yeah, I know. Right?
He's such a downer.
So, yeah, you are.
I know. Like you went to a State University of New York college, mm-hmm. and then. All of a sudden, the next thing I know about you is you're making TV shows about drinking.
What do you think you do at a State University
in
New York?
I know, but then how do you monetize that? Were you making TV shows in college about drinking that
No. I mean, so it's funny because I think this might be my fault. Like I start on things and got away because I know we started talking about this because I started to get an art degree.
Right.
And
right.
then I decided that like, what am I going to do? Become a starting artist. And we talked about New York and I didn't want to necessarily move to New York City, which I thought was where an artist needed to be and just live there. I needed to get out of New York. I grew up in Syracuse, close enough to New York City, not really the same thing. But like, so then I was like, you know what? I got it. Cause I liked, you know, money. So then I changed my major to pre-med. Didn't drink for a semester and just like went to class.
Really?
Went to class and just like cracked the books and whatever. And at the end, I was doing well. Like I can handle that, but I just realized I'm not having fun. And there has to be some rule in life for the brief time that we're here,
right?
That you can just do what you think you can do to make your time here as most enjoyable or impactful. Like, you know, I wanted to help people and that was part of it, but I just felt like maybe I could help people by bringing joy. I don't know. But I knew that I had a creative energy, like an entertainer in me that needed to get out.
Yeah.
And so then at the end, I just changed it to, I went back and said, all right, I'm going to graduate with my fine arts degree in painting, so oil painting. Look around my house. Look at my oil paintings. None. None. I've not touched them since.
Color by numbers.
Exactly. And I'll buy one. Yeah. And then went to get a minor in theater. Didn't finish my minor.
Okay.
But just did that and just felt like I was in a world that I knew I wanted to be in. I didn't want to be in the theater world per se. I wasn't necessarily... They didn't know what to make of me.
Sure.
Because I was just sort of normal. And so, I mean, look. And so I was just like, and so they kind of didn't really treat me well, but I don't care, whatever. I got what I got out of it.
Yeah.
I left there. Boom. I headed out to LA and that was it. Yeah. And then, by the way, we talked about this before. I was out here. So 1996.
Yeah.
Who else was out here in 1996? In this room.
In this room. Steve!
Steve, yeah. And so I was here, one of my first days here, I was in front of the Beverly Center, and I saw this.
Turning tricks? Or
just earning money.
No, that was me.
Earning money, right? Yeah. And I was like, this famous guy, this car next to me, this convertible.
Great hair.
It's Steve.
Yeah.
It was him.
That's so funny that you remember that after seeing...
Well, like, you were... So it was literally the first days I was here. The first guy I saw was Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
And Ed O'Neill. And then you. I don't know why. I remember where I was when Reagan was shot and when the shuttle exploded and when I saw you first.
The Beverly Center was my spot.
Yeah.
That was my spot,
that's
dude.
My jam.
That was my spot, bro.
Sat next to each other in a light.
Grew up there.
I was like, because I remember saying, hey, that's that guy from the soap operas or whatever. I don't know who I was with because it didn't matter, but it was just funny.
Wow.
That's awesome. So you came out in 96?
I haven't come out yet, but in 96, I was, because that story sounded like I was, but I wasn't.
You will be.
I came out here. Yeah. What's cool is I'm 46. I know. I look 45. I came out here when I was 23. So half my year on the way here, half my life here. So.
How'd you stay busy when you were starting out here? Do you have any crazy jobs besides all the jobs you created yourself?
You know, this restaurant, Crustacean in Beverly Hills
seafood.
Yes.
Yeah. Seafood. Yeah. What's well, it? It's a, yeah. It's a. It's like
Bradford.
I got the quiz right.
Seafood.
Ding. Okay. Did I ask a question? And I went there as a bartender. No. Yeah. As a bartender, I got hired as a bartender. And then they said we're having an opening party. The cast of Batman. the original series is going to be here for
Adam West and Burt Ward?
Yes, exactly.
No way.
With the car pulling up.
Yes.
And I was like, cool, I'll be behind the bar. Well, we need you to be a server, like walk around with like a tray board here.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right. So she's like, then we'll talk about it afterwards. So then I did that. Then the next morning went in to get my check or something or talk to her about, you know, starting to attend bar. She's like, you know, I think you'll be best waiting tables. You know, we have a full bar roster now. I'm like, all right, well, whatever her name is. And I said, okay, Kim or whatever. She's like, I need you to call me Miss An. I'm like, we're the same age. You know what?
We're not in the South.
You know what? I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. And so I went, and then my brother was like, hey, why don't you start like an online thing? And I started an online casting company called ExtraCast. This is something nobody knows.
What?
And so it was an online database of extras
That's way ahead of its time.
98.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I had to go around to every casting director and explain to them what this was to get people to sign up.
Oh my gosh.
And then, but if you needed like a basketball player who's 6'6" and it was a file maker, searchable database integrated into the website.
Did you program too?
My brother did. He's a nerd.
Oh my
gosh!
Wow.
And so, but I would go around and just get people to use it. And they did. I mean, at that time, it was used for a lot. It was used for soaps.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
And then I ended up selling it.
Yes.
To this company. Yeah. You'll like where this story ends. So this is the beginning. So I ended up selling it to this company, and called Euphoria Systems, based out of Canada, and they came down. They wanted a place in Hollywood. Da, da, da. So they came down, and they gave me stock. I still have the piece of paper, $960,000 worth of stock. So, which was Canadian, which the Canadian dollar was stronger than ours back then.
Oh, sure.
So I sold my company for $1 million when I was maybe 27, 28. And then I went in after it was all signed, went in, and they fired me. They go, they negotiated my salary. They offered me like $120,000 to like to start
to stay on
to stay on, and then so I was on with that salary for like maybe 2 months while we finished all the paperwork and signed it all over, and then they fired me, and then really rudely changed the locks, computer and locked it up and all these kind of things,
but you still had your buyout.
I still had my stock.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We're getting to the good part now.
Yeah. It gets better. And so the guy, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, you're fired. And you need to get your stuff out of here. Don't talk to any employees. You need to leave here or I'll call the police. I'm like,
un-Canadian.
I'm like, it wasn't Canadian.
Right?
I'm like, what are you talking about? You want to take a swing at me? I'm like,
what?
That's how it went.
We just escalated this.
Yeah. It's an awesome guy named Gary Brownstone. Super cool guy. And
hey, Gary, take a dirt nap.
Yeah. How you doing? How you doing, buddy? And so I left there. And they said, you can't have any communication with your staff. I'm like, why? What is the law that says that? And so the following Friday, my staff all lined up. Because when they walked in to fire me, he gave me a letter that I had to open and read to the end where it said, you're fired. And the following week, all my employees, except for one guy that just couldn't swing it, he needed the job, all 10 people lined up and handed him a letter and left.
Wow.
And so really powerful movement to get your stock to be worth nothing.
Oh, boy.
But it's fine because I was putting all my time and energy into that company.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing anything with my acting or comedy, anything like that.
Yeah.
So I found myself like smack in the face. Okay, bro, get back to what you came out here to do.
Yeah.
So I took, and I had a Land Rover Defender, well, like the one I have outside.
For sale.
Yeah, for sale. You want to buy it? And I sold it and took the money and made a pilot of me basically doing like hidden camera stunts. And I just hired people. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know TV. And I made this thing and that was it. And I made that. Merv Griffin saw it.
Wow.
He ended up having me do like a travel show where we would go around to different festivals and like just interview people. And if the festival was normal, I would play like a weird character or whatever. And then I ended up showing it to him. He said, it's great, but it's too edgy. So then that didn't go anywhere.
Do people tell me I'm too edgy all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough one to swallow.
It was weird. And so what I did was I took the tape, the episode.
Yeah.
I cut it into like a 3-minute sizzle reel, put it on VHS tape. Do you even know what that is?
Oh, yeah, yes. I'm aware.
And I've heard of them.
Yeah.
Do you have one in your house? No.
No.
And so I made like 300, last penny I had. I printed up these notes that were from the desk of Merv Griffin. And said, wow. Hey, you'd love to. No, I'm sorry. It was from me. You know those cards? Like they're sort of a long card in the industry, whatever. And I said, Merv Griffin told me to send it to you. said you would know what to do with it or whatever.
Right.
Same letter, handwritten, signed it, sent it off all over town. And then that ended up at the people at who created Three Sheets saw it.
Wow!
And then brought
that's
me in.
That's an amazing story, yeah. Dude.
So it's just like you just get punched.
Make it till you make it.
Punched in the nuts, and then stand up and ask for more. And
right.
that's
how you succeed.
Yeah. You guys, by the way, you guys have gotten more
out of you
authentic life experience
yes!
from me
that's
than
it.
Anyone else.
So it's a victory for Bradford today.
Oh yeah, no, it's funny we. Like, you know, we interview a lot of people from our show, and one of the things that we, you know, we never want to, we're not out here to get gotcha quotes. We want to actually hear from people that, a lot of people that we know already that we're trying to learn more about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for someone that we've never met before.
So what makes a podcast interesting?
Well, this is what makes it so cool is because now you and I are going to go do stand-up.
Yeah, that's right.
We are. I mean, you know, 2 hours ago, that never would have happened.
No, exactly.
Which is amazing.
That's one of the things I really like. Now, this is kind of inside baseball, but like a lot of us have these podcasts. And and we kind of do them because we want to do them. We want to get our brand out there. They're fun to do. But like, you know what? My favorite thing, but by and far to of like the reason I do these is to meet cool people like you.
Like, mm-hmm. he pointed at Steve only.
Sure did.
That's okay, Brad.
Sorry, meet people like you and then your friend here who runs the mic. But every week now it's
I love him. Though.
It's not
that's
it's,
my friend.
It's not and then this guy and so and the guy in the Canadian tuxedo and then well, I mean I had to set up the visual.
That's amazing.
But like and it's it you know we sometimes do a few in a week and then I take a break. But I'm forced to do this 52 times a year.
That's sure,
great.
Like get to meet somebody new.
Yeah.
Or bring in somebody that I know kind of well, like Ian Ziering, and say, hey, man, you want to come over and do my podcast? I'd love to. And he sits down and we do it and then we kick it and whatever. It's fun.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
Awesome.
Yeah. And everyone leaves with a bottle of rum.
Yeah,
not everybody. And a jacket.
I love the jacket.
Can you tell
us about your adventure wear?
Yeah, I guess that's
quick.
Another one.
Yeah, just we're going to go down the line. I know it sounds like we're doing a Zane commercial. We got four sheets coming out, right?
Yep.
And that's drinktv.com.
Drinktv.com.
Also on Apple TV and Roku and all that kind of thing.
Use coupon code Zane.
Yeah. Check out Zane.
And save everything.
Yeah. Check out Zane's podcast, the podcast one called Zane's World. He's got some great guests that I listen to.
Yeah.
I just love listening to
them. Oh, you mean you guys?
No. I love listening. But that's what the thing I love about podcasts is I'm listening to people that I never would ever talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is so fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and we're all out here. We're doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And everyone back in Syracuse wants to assume that we know each other. And it's some,
do you know
some point,
how many questions did you get
you
that?
You know. But how many times is the answer yes?
Yeah,
you know
exactly
mean?
Right.
Because
exactly.
If it's a veteran that's been out here for as long as us, you know what I mean? Like it ends up just being yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so, Steve, you've been at this for like 3 months. You look,
yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You can't be more than 22 years old.
Appreciate you.
I'm going to tell you the quick story of my clothing line.
Yeah,
yes.
Please.
So I was doing Three Sheets, getting paid. I think I'm contractually obligated to not share this information, but it's been long enough. $2,500 per episode. Wow, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
No, not when you're making 8 episodes a year. Because people are like, well, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Then the rest of the time I got to spend because – because they have what's called first ride or
so they have you basically.
Yeah, they have
so you
me.
Can't do anything else.
I couldn't do anything that I would have to put. They have first position,
first position,
I couldn't have something in second position. So I tried doing that. I actually had a Comedy Central show and they made me choose.
Oh.
And my dad had passed away, and so I talked to my mom and I was like, Mom, what? Much longer before he had passed away when I was in college. But I said to Mom, like, what should I do? Like, here's the pros of this one. Here's the pros of this one. She goes, will they ever know if you put them both in first position? I was like, no.
I like that. She's in the mafia.
She goes, why don't you just
from
do
New York.
It? And if there's a problem, you figure it out then. Why would you say no to both of these great opportunities? The Comedy Central one end up going down the tube. I'll tell you that story. It's amazing. I'm telling you next time we're on each one of each other's podcasts. Bring it up because it'll blow your mind. And now you want to know, but I'm not going to tell you.
Dude, we got to keep them hanging, bro.
but then the...
So your clothing line.
Yeah,
so then
I was like, I'm not making a lot of money. So let me use this real estate on my chest and start making some shirts. And so I had a monkey that I was hiding in the episode. Like, that was part of a drinking game. So I was like, I'm going to make my show into a drinking game. So the monkey that I reached behind and grabbed, I was hiding in the episode. And that's it was a Thai Beanie Baby at the time. So I was talking to Thai, the company, the CEO. I want to see if I can buy the rights to this monkey called Swinger and rebrand him Pleeplius, which is the name of this monkey that I call him. And so they said, yes, whatever, we're going to do it. I had a minimum of 60,000 monkeys needed to buy. At like $2 a piece.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't know I didn't have that kind of money. But right. But I'm like, let's do it. Let's do it. I'll figure it out. And so yeah, it's a two. And so then when the guy basically a new CEO came in, he's like, no, we're not gonna have one of our toys associated with the drinking show. Oops. So then I was like, okay, well I've already hidden him in the show. So I was like, all right, I made a silhouette of that monkey. And put them on the brand. Like you can see, like I think there's a tag here. So see, that's the silhouette of my brand. Yeah. And so I basically went out and just put that monkey on shirts. I didn't even know how many people were watching the shirts. I had social media at the time. I think, to be honest with you, when it started, I think it was MySpace.
Right, sure.
And people just started buying the shirts. I was like, holy cow. And then I was like, maybe I can make something with like a hoodie. Like, sure, I make a hoodie. Then I wanted to make one with a bottle opener zipper. So then I found out how to do that.
Right.
And then I made the drinking jacket, which was a hoodie that had like a beverage pocket and all these kind of things. And I was like, okay, now we're on to something. Now I want to make high quality products, not just gimmicky stuff.
Sure.
So then I changed the name to Adventure. Yeah. And we plant three, because it's ADV3, N-T-U-R-E. We plant three trees with every purchase.
That's so cool.
And it has a beverage pocket. They all fold up into pillows. And
I
like,
saw it, dude.
And
I love
you
it.
Have, like, and they're nice,
they're
nice stuff.
They're high quality stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great because I traveled so much, you know, back and forth to L.A. to Nashville. And you cannot go without a good hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just to travel, yours has all the pockets in it and it makes a pillow. And
yeah.
And then I'll have to sleep on bread.
It's got all the pockets to keep all the stuff you need.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
Then, yeah.
And I'm kind of a germaphobe, and it looks like it's a good protective barrier from germs.
It is. That's one of the things that it does. I don't know.
What's the website? What's the website?
It's adventure.com. But if for anything,
anything
related,
just
go to foursheets.com.
Foursheets.
Because, you know,
it really helps people.
It starts with the show.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is a driving force.
Does that connect
to
your social too, at foursheets.com?
Yeah, it does. All right. Yeah, and that's all Zane Lamprey, but like, that really is like, and that's why I'm making that show. I make that my priority. Like I have Erica running the apparel company. I got Ian running the rum company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Podcast One does a great job of helping me with the podcast.
Great.
But for me, I need to put everything into the show because it's my calling card, and I just need it to be
that's great, man.
Amazing. I'll send you guys the episode so you can check them
out.
Yeah,
awesome, it's cool. I saw the promo. I love it.
Yeah.
So, hey, man,
you just like it because I got hit over the head.
Dude, that was the spoiler right there. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I got to see what happened to this cat
after it got
hit.
All right, I'm watching. Yeah.
So, man, we appreciate your time.
Thank you guys are awesome.
And, dude, it's been so cool to meet you, honestly.
Like, I can't wait to get up on stage with you. This is going to be amazing.
Gosh.
We're doing it.
Now
I'm going to be in the front row, guys. It's going to be amazing.
Just get him drunk so he giggles.
Yeah. He will. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Not too drunk where he heckles.
No heckling.
We'll see. There's a fine line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys check out Zane's World on Podcast One and just everything he's doing at foursheets.com.
You guys are awesome.
All right, man. Thanks, dude.
Meat tweet.
Is that
a meat tweet or no?
That's just my patented segue. My segue.
Okay, great. So now it's a transitional.
Transitional. So that was fun. That was fun, man. That was fun. We get to hang out with a new friend, and
yeah, it was great.
You guys could tell he's just a solid guy, and you know, you can see why he's got a really successful show. He's asked great questions. He's super. He's just a great conversationalist and fun and just a great guy. You know, humans are great.
Yes, man. Connecting is cool, dude. Connecting with people that you never would connect with.
Totally.
And then you find out you have something in common with people. It's really awesome.
Yeah. Isn't it
really
awesome?
It is awesome.
All right. So we have a question this week from Jeannie Ryan. And she wants to know about the writers and how it works.
are the GH award-winning writers. That's right. They just won a WGA award for their
work.
Yeah,
buddy.
Yeah. Are they assigned to cast to write for? Are they, or is it collaborative writing? Is it, like, for instance, do Sam and Jason have a writer? Does Spinelli have a writer assigned to the character? And, I think... I'm not sure how it has always been. I know that's not the case now, but that's something that I've always heard thrown around. A lot of viewers have always been curious of that, and you being around, I figured you could explain it a little bit.
First of all, let's start with the head writer's job is very difficult.
Yes.
Okay. Because usually you have a carousel of writers that come in and out.
Right.
There's not a lot of writers that stay. There are some that stay for a long time, but they do have some that leave and they try new writers. So I guess the broad strokes of it is the head writer, it's all his idea for long story.
Right. His or her. Correct.
Right.
Because we have both right now, don't we?
Yeah. And a lot of times it is just a woman anyway. Yeah. But the long story is the head writer's broad stroke of what's going to happen on the show. And from there, some head writers did write individual scripts, but usually from there, they delegate it to breaking it down in outline form. And then that gets broken down into actual days per script.
Right.
And then that's handed out to certain individual script writers. So to answer her question, I think a lot of times they'll find a writer might have a propensity for a certain character and just really gets that character and gets the dialogue of that character and the motivation of that character.
Sure.
So I feel that if it was a big show for Sonny or Spinelli, and there was a certain writer that had, a propensity for that character, they might hand that that story or that particular script to that writer.
So the script writer would say, or after the script writer finishes it, they would then send it once it came back into the building, because the script writers are satellite writers a lot of the times, right?
Sure.
They don't live in LA. Once the head writer does the long story, the outline person kind of breaks it down into segments, and then the script writer flushes it in with dialogue. So once it comes back from the script writer, is it when they would say, hey, you have a great, a line on Jason's voice. He doesn't speak much, but you
stupid.
But so you take a look at this and edit, not edit it, but like, you know,
well,
or,
I mean,
or does it come in at this?
We have an editor. Right. So the script after it's written, it goes to an editor.
Right.
Right. Who edits all the scripts.
Right.
And she kind of has an overall view of voices of characters.
Right.
Right. So she can make some edits.
Right. Right.
But I think the script, like when I see the breakdowns, it'll say, okay, Monday this happens, and it'll give little kind of bullet points of what happens with each character during the day.
Sure.
Not necessarily dialogue, but it'll walk you through the scenes and stuff that need to happen in that script.
Right.
So if it was a big Spinelli day, then someone said, then Frank or the head writers could look at it and say, hey, I think so-and-so would be great for this day.
Here you go.
Right.
Oh,
so they'll hand that off. Right. It's like with the directors, like
even among the script writers, they'd say that script writer.
Correct.
Yeah. I see. Okay. Yeah. I see.
Now, I think some shows have had people assigned to people, but I don't want to really speak out of school because I don't know that to be a fact.
Sure.
I just know that if there were certain days, big days, like with Tony Geary, I know Michelle Valjean wrote a lot for Tony Geary.
I see. Okay.
Right. So I feel that it's probably that way with other characters, but I just don't know how prevalent it is today.
Well, and I'm sure all the talented writers, the award-winning writers, as we just said, are more than capable of writing for every character. Sometimes they just might.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you relate to different people, man. You know how it is. Just on a human level, some people might relate to, Ava over another woman character.
I find I relate to Ava quite a lot.
As do I.
Yeah.
So patient six does especially.
Yeah. Right.
So that you know,
been,
it just
could have been so beautiful. Could have been so right.
We could have been,
so beautiful.
I always joke. I'm like, we could have been something. Everyone's like, you better stop so that. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Were you singing? Did I interrupt your singing? I'm sorry.
I was. I think I was singing Tiffany from the 80s.
I think we're alone now.
Well, that was a great cover of Tommy James and the Shondells. I love Tiffany, but I love Tommy James even more.
Come on, but that song was it.
Children will play. That's what they say when we're together. That's what they say when we're together, Steve. Children will play.
That's right.
But watch what they say.
Watch what they say. I think we're alone now. We actually are alone.
We actually are. We are. Yeah, definitely.
Everybody's left us.
Yeah.
And they're like running away from us right now in droves. They're like, where's everybody going? I think we're alone now.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the question, Jeannie. That was a great. It's fun to have fun questions, but then I think sometimes you listeners do enjoy the technicalities of what we do, and so that's another reason why we're here to share those with you.
Yeah, and I think it'd be cool actually. Now that you said that, Brad, I think it'd be cool to have like the head of props on.
Oh yeah.
You know, to just do like a 15-20 minute breakdown of like, hey, you get a script, that what do you do?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Oh, how do I get this Atlas, or how do I make the computer work for Spinelli all the time, or
right.
You know, all these questions that I think a lot of fans have, which would be cool.
Yeah,
so, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we could ahead of time say that so we could get specific questions for it.
Yeah, that'd be
cool.
Look
at us brainstorming on air. This is gold.
This is amazing. This is ground baking. Yeah, great.
Ground baking
podcast.
Well, awesome. Thanks for spending your Wednesday with us. We'll be back next week with another fantastic interview. We're excited to share these with you. Hope you're enjoying them. Thanks to Zane Lamprey. Check out Zane's World on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And remember, don't forget That's Awesome on Podcast
Don't forget
One.
Us.
We got a private dinner in LA coming up in a few weeks on March 21st.
Yes, we have a private dinner and a podcast. We're going to try that together, which is going to be amazing. So
yeah,
go to stonecoldinthejacks.com for that.
Yep.
We're more than halfway sold out, which is awesome.
Yep.
April
was
boogie.
Crisscross
right
in the nation.
Jump.
Everybody.
So make sure you get your tickets. Don't wait till the last minute. I mean, I saw in one place we had like 8 tickets left.
I know. We're so excited. We're so excited that you're so excited.
We're like a virus.
Yeah, we're
we're spreading everywhere. Go to stonecoldinthejackal.com for that. And then May, we're going to be announcing May next week.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Beep.
I'd say I'm always, awesome. I'm always the... Of the small group that plans these things, I'm always the last to know, so I get excited.
That's right. So next week we're going to have May, and May is going to be awesome too. So.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks everybody. We'll be talking to you soon, and appreciate you as
thanks,
always.
Guys. Later.
New to Podcast One, Two Cups of Joe. Singer and actor Joey Fatone, joined by his manager and friend of 25 years, Joe Mulvihill, will be discussing everything from parenting and raising a family to TV, film, music, and sports with some of their famous friends. From his time in NSYNC to film roles like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, hosting TV shows, and performing on Broadway, Fatone brings his unique viewpoint of the entertainment industry. Combined with Mulvihill's access to the business, you're sure in for some fun.
Hey, what's up? It's Joey Fatone.
And this is Joe Mulvihill. Check us out on podcastone.com and Apple Podcasts. Both venues. If you have an Android, it's podcastone.com.
Ooh.
And if it's an Apple, it's Apple Podcasts. Oh, you sound like Scooby-Doo.
I didn't know that.